good afternoon to you and welcome to On The Reader News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. I am your host Ndafa Happy Juju and I will be here keeping you company up until 14:30. Now, of course, today is Wednesday, the 1st of October, 2025, a brand new month. And with it comes fresh opportunities. Now, September is now behind us, but it's not too late, of course, to revamp, restructure, rebrand, and refocus on those goals before the year draws to a close. October is often seen as the turning point, the moment to take stock, recharge, and push forward with renewed energy. Now, right here on the Reader News Analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We explore why it matters, how it shapes the lives of everyday Namibians, and what it means for the future of our nation. From government decisions to the small but meaningful stories of our everyday life. We unpack the news and connect it back to the people who live it. And remember, your voice is just as important as the news itself. So share your thoughts with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, WhatsApp, and ensure that you tune in always via Eagle FM website and or Eagle FM app. Remember, the world is going digital. Now, from the coastlines of Swakopmund to the green fields near Okahandja, from the busy streets of Windhoek to the far north in Oshakati, wherever you are this Wednesday afternoon, thank you for making Eagle FM your station of choice. Now, this is On The Reader News Analysis. Let me be your stories unpacked and connected to the people who live them. Now, let's dive into today's top stories. On Monday, the Bank of Namibia held the official issuance of the upgraded new generation of banknotes and coins, the third currency series since independence and the first upgrade coinage series since 1993. Now, speaking at the launch in Mariental, Governor Johannes Kavahab said the new currency is more than just a medium of exchange. It is a symbol of trust, sovereignty, and national pride. Now, the upgraded banknotes feature enhanced security measures, including color-shifting elements, microtext, latent images, and tactile features for the visually impaired. Now, for the first time, the 10 Namibian dollar note and the 20 Namibian dollar note denominations are printed on a hybrid subtract designed to increase durability and reduce replacement cost. The new coins, meanwhile, have been redesigned to reflect Namibia's cultural identity and national heritage, while also improving quality and longevity. While digital payments are growing, Johannes Kavahab emphasized that cash remains central to Namibia's economy. Currency in circulation has increased from 4.7 billion Namibian dollars in 2020 to 5.6 billion Namibian dollars in 2025. He noted that cash remains vital for informal traders, rural communities, and households where digital access is limited. In addition, the Bank of Namibia is rolling out an instant payment platform that will allow real-time money transfers 24/7, even for those without traditional bank accounts. But the governor stressed that the move aims to strengthen financial inclusion and make payments such as school fees and household bills more efficient. At the same time, Bank of Namibia Governor Johannes Kavahab warned of rising risks in the digital economy, particularly cybercrime and deepfake scams, urging Namibians to stay vigilant. Now, closing his remarks, he said the new notes and coins represent progress, stability, and confidence in Namibia's financial system. Of course, the new currency will be gradually introduced into circulation, having started already. I'm sure many of you have been away and have been seeing this new coins. Now, for a thorough discussion on this, I am joined by Dr. Omu Kakuyama-Tundu. Let's take a listen. A very good afternoon to you, Dr. Omu Kakuyama-Tundu, and a welcome to On The Reader News Analysis.
Good afternoon and good afternoon to your listeners.
Now, Dr. Omu, the Bank of Namibia just held the official issuance of the upgraded banknotes, a new coinage series that is on Monday of this 2025. Now, just what is the importance of redesigning money?
Yes, a couple of things. The most important one, of course, is the security of the notes and coinage. By that, I mean the security features. You want to be on top of the game so that your money won't be counterfeited very easily.
Yeah.
And I think I'll put my head on the block for this one, but also perhaps the design of the new kind of software that are used in machines and other stuff could perhaps warrant that. But the one that I'm very sure of is, of course, the security features should be improved from time to time so that we won't caught with our pants down by counterfeiters.
Absolutely. And I think earlier in the beginning of the year, the Bank of Namibia did talk about how counterfeit percentages have gone really down. And that's something quite to really applaud. Of course, we would want it to get to zero, at least close to that. But yeah, the figure that they did mention, I think it was 10% or so, is quite also worth of applauding. But then again, how does new money expand the economy?
The other one that I would hasten to mention is that it could also be political, because as you have seen from time to time, they want to change the signature of the governor. Sometimes they on the money. Sometimes they want to put in the head, if it is called that way, of the new president, or a very important individual from the historical figure. So that is also another one. But the overriding one, I think, is the security features. As for expanding the economy, I don't think it'll make much difference, really. Because what you are doing is that in some other places, what happens, we haven't come there yet, but if they see that, for instance, the $100 is meaningless, it's almost like a 5 cent, then they have to print a $1,000 bill. Yeah, but for us, it's basically, I think the most overriding thing here was basically to improve the security features on that. So I think it is just the same difference. Perhaps what you could say, if there was no if the new currency was not widely accepted by the populace, then it could have affected the economy negatively. But as for now, I am 100% sure that it'll be very much accepted. I understand that the coins are lighter than the old ones, and and I also understand, and from what I have seen on TV, the new bills, that is the notes, are beautiful.
Excellent.
So I think there will be basically just the same acceptance as the old. So I don't think it is going to have any impact on the economy, be it to expand it or to affect it negatively.
Actually, I was also quite skeptical when the pictures of how the notes are going to look like and the coins. I haven't seen the coins personally myself, but the notes, I'm looking at them and they are actually very beautiful. They look more sharper. And of course, their numbers are much larger compared to the initial ones. Now, still on this, the US dollar bill was also redesigned primarily also to make them easier to use, but also more difficult to counterfeit. And of course, as we're seeing now, a lot of technology and a lot of people are now understanding the digital world. Of course, they will try to now maneuver around with our currencies in order to counterfeit them. And of course, this will affect the economy very badly.
Yes.
Yeah, but Dr. Omu, what overall picture do you get as the Bank of Namibia continuously make sure that we are on top with our currency and comparing and also speaking in terms of the Namibian dollar being pegged to the South African dollar and seems to be quite strong compared to other currencies, you know, especially African countries. Now, before Dr. Omu gets into that question and answering it, let's take a commercial break that is scheduled and then we'll be back to resume. Stay tuned.
save big at YouSave. 4 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions just 189.99 Namibian dollars. 4 packets Knorr thickening soup, all variants, 24 Namibian dollars. 700 milliliters Crystal Gold tomato sauce, 24.99 Namibian dollars. 750 grams Nola mayonnaise, a baggin at just 27.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams Romy 37% fat spread, 14.99 Namibian dollars. And 3 kilo bag selected pasta polana, 74.99 Namibian dollars. You save as good as the best for less.
A very good afternoon to you, Dr. Omukakwe Matundu, and a welcome to On the Reading News Analysis.
The link.
Absolutely. Overall, what do you say about the Bank of Namibia creating a stability in terms of currency? Are we doing quite well in that regard? Do you think there is a need for major improvement? From my angle, I would say that I think we're doing quite well in that regard. But overall, what do you think about how the central bank is managing the affairs that it's managing?
There are a couple of things that the Bank of Namibia can do to assist the economy, to stabilize the economy, things like your repo rate and those kind of stuff. But as for your currency to be strong depends on what you export.
Mm.
Yeah. Your exports, that is, as well as foreign direct investment,
mm-hmm.
money coming from outside, and when they bring that money in, they'll demand your Namibian dollar, and the Namibian dollar's value will go up. There are also downsides to very strong currency, of course, because your exports will become less attractive for foreigners, and they'll import less of your goods. But generally, the strength of your currency is determined by your exports. If we export nicely and we get some good currency, there is something called that is the how many months of foreign currency do you have in terms of exports? Let's say I have forgotten the term, but that is that holding of foreign currency. If you have, it is called import cover, meaning that the last time I looked at it, our import cover was something like 3 months or so. Which is okay. So meaning that if everything stops, we don't get any foreign currency in, how long can we still import essentials like your drugs, not coke, mm-hmm. but I mean medicines,
mm-hmm.
yeah, medicinal products and some other things that we really need.
Yeah.
So that is what they call import cover, and we are doing well for now in terms of that.
Mm-hmm. In terms of educating the young Namibian, what do you think? Are we perhaps lagging behind? I'm talking about economic aspect. Of course, we have a lot of people who are educated, but you know the economy aspect is one that affects all of us. Do you think we're doing enough in terms of educating the Namibian people, in terms of understanding the economy for them to also be able to freely trade from an angle of understanding, an angle of knowledge, or just what do you recommend then be done in that aspect?
Right. I think, yes, government is doing well, mostly with like the road shows that they have when they did the African Continental Free Trade Area,
yeah.
Those sessions.
Mm-hmm.
They were basically involving the youth, women, and those disadvantaged groups to get them closer to start export-oriented businesses. So I think that is a good approach. So in a way, we are bit by bit getting there. It's only that it's not easy because of non-complementarity. Meaning that most of the things what Botswana is selling is what we are also selling, what, like so. So it becomes very difficult for us to have this intra-African trade. But basically, yes, there are some of kind of education and information going out there to the Namibian populace, the youth included. But there is one thing that just came to my mind, mostly mm-hmm. as we were talking about the currency.
Yeah.
And we were talking about that money cost, to print money costs money.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is not a new kind of currency or new yeah. notes and coinage. Mostly the notes. Let me say the notes. It is very important that we keep our money tidy and clean, because as they age very fast, they have to be destroyed at the bank, and we have to order some new money, if I may say, in terms of these ones are old because we keep them in our socks, in our underpants and whatever. So it is always nice to put them in a wallet or in your purse and put it nicely so that they won't age too fast. That saves the economy money by not importing our money in terms of letting those bigger companies print money and we pay them with our hard-earned foreign currency.
Mm. Interesting. Very good point that you made right there, Dr. Omu. Especially, you get some people, maybe not so many, but then, there are some people who don't really, take good care of our money. You know, as money goes around, when it's actually in your care, it's one's responsibility to ensure that it is not torn, it is not written on, it's not all this type of things. So yeah, really good message right there, to the public.
Very much so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Omu, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Radar News Analysis.
Thank you, Juju, for having me. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. And there you had it from Dr. Omu Kakuamatundu. He's an economist, and we're talking about, of course, the issuance of the upgraded new generation of banknotes and coins. And now in studio, I'm joined by Franz Senengela. A very good afternoon to you, Franz, and welcome to On the Radar News Analysis.
Yes, good afternoon.
Now, Franz, the new banknotes, let's dwell with the banknotes, of course, are now into circulation and have been redesigned, of course, with the bank saying it's to reflect Namibia's cultural identity and national heritage. One thing also they did speak about is that it's to help the visually impaired and the blind people to be able to identify the notes. Do you think an ordinary or any visually impaired person out there or blind person can easily identify bank notes, or more needs to be done actually to educate them and help them to identify what features they have to look out for?
I don't know how they say easily.
They didn't say easily. That was my word.
Okay, fine. So if they are saying they will help blind and visually impaired people how to identify, how will they help them? Will they call up a conference and teach them and show them the new banknote, or how are they going to do it?
Mm.
So that's another thing, because if, in fact, when they put the new features there, when they put the new features on the thing, whom did they consult for any idea on how the feature should be?
For the visually impaired,
because
and
you
the blind.
Cannot consider people, you cannot talk about people without them.
Mm.
And you want to improve something that they will struggle, to identify.
Mm.
Yeah, so, and from the look of things, when I look at that money, If it baffles me, then somebody else will have more problem identifying that banknote.
Mm. Okay.
So we are yet to see how they are going to make it, how their word is going to practically come through. If they are going to think they print the money and leave it, then they are saying that the blind people and the visually impaired people should identify the money themselves.
Mm-hmm. With the old notes, France, how did you get your way around finally identifying this is a $10, this is a $50 note, this is what?
No, the old notes were very much easy.
Mm.
Easily identified. They were very identifiable, you know, because their features were plain. They were very simple because, you know, information need to be simplified.
Yeah.
And these ones are very complicated. The new notes are very much complicated, and I don't know. And I think a lot of visually impaired or blind people have difficulties identifying the money.
Mm-hmm. Just how should now the bank be interested in educating the visually impaired and the blind people in how to use this notes and coins as well? How do you think they could go about doing that?
Well, they should now, they were supposed to be prepared for this.
Mm.
And now they are going to do what we call repair. So now they are going to repair because they are going to, they should make sure that we know what they are talking about.
Yeah.
Because it is us that are going to be using those features that they put there.
True.
Now, whom did they call to advise them on what features they will use? Because those are not even Braille features.
Mm.
Those are very strange features.
Mm, I hear you. Now, by saying, I just want you to get to make it clear. By you saying, who do they call? You mean in terms of visually impaired and for the blind?
You can't come up with something
that benefit people that you
benefit didn't people that you did not consult.
Mm.
How will you know that it will work for them?
True.
So, and this is a syndrome that is in government where they think inclusivity is their term. It's on their term.
Yeah.
You can't be inclusive on your term. You are inclusive on both your term and other person's term. You come to agreement
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, I think this feature will be easily identifiable.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing Braille about the new note. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that.
Yeah. France, while we are still at this particular topic, of course, sometimes we see the ministry printing out documents and books as well that are meant for the public and for the masses out there. Do they make an aspect to print out for the visually impaired and the blind, or how?
Talk about NDP6.
Yeah,
I'm the only blind person that has it. If I'm not lying.
Mm-hmm. Did you get? Was it printed for you?
On my own cost.
You printed it at your own cost.
Mm-hmm. So as other reports like you know Namibia Artificial Intelligence report, I printed that my. In fact, I'm broke now because of those books. Because you see, one page in black and white is equal to two or three pages in Braille.
Yeah.
So if a book is 100, if something is 100, a document is 100
pages,
you know, pages or more,
mm-hmm.
which means I have to spend more money.
Because you have now to have 200 pages of that.
Yeah, I have to
one.
Have 200 to 300 pages
mm-hmm.
on Braille, and that's expensive. So, one of the things that, you know, government, they also look at cost. Look, in as much as we want to think we are inclusive, we also have to look at the cost.
Yeah.
Because if you have to spend 800,000 to print 2 million copies for in black and white,
mm-hmm.
or 3 million copies, or how many million copies, for 800,000, it's cheaper than you spend 6 million to print, you know, Braille material for a few thousands of people.
Mm.
That becomes expensive.
Yeah.
So under any normal circumstances, anybody will be tempted to go for lower cost.
Yeah.
So, and on that, you know, you could, from a human rights point of view, blame the government for not printing documents. But from a cost point of view, you also understand to say there are costs that factor in, you know, in this exercise. So it's a double-edged sword
mm-hmm.
where you want to reach people, you want to reach everyone.
Yeah.
But there is cost involved. And it's not always that money is available.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one thing that we need to be considerable of, in as much as we can be critical of how government does things.
Cool. I hear you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Senengla, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Radio News Analysis.
Thank you.
Okay. And there you had it from Senengla France. He is our Indo journalist and reporter, of course, a voice that many of you are very familiar with. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. This is, of course, on the Radar News Analysis.
Lipura nengeno wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida Ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala Ononongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa Nune udo otukwetira o special ange Tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka Opone ushe njife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM Onora etatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu Oma filane Eagle FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The Bank of Namibia has released its September 2025 quarterly bulletin, which outlines international and domestic economic developments for the second quarter of the year. Now, global gross domestic product expanded by 3.5% in the second quarter of 2025. That is compared to 3.3% in the first quarter. A stronger growth in India, Indonesia and the US offset slower activity in Europe, the UK and Japan. Now, at the same time, global financial markets remained resilient as equity markets in advanced economies recovered. Now, while bond markets stabilized as inflation expectations eased. Meanwhile, the South African rand strengthened against the US dollar, supported by political stability and improved global risk sentiments. Domestically, growth slowed to 1.6% in the second quarter of 2025, down from 2.8% in the first quarter as manufacturing, fishing and agriculture contracted. However, mining, particularly uranium, helped support output. At the same time, annual inflation fell to 3.6%, mainly due to lower transport costs, even though food and housing inflation rose slightly. Furthermore, private sector credit extensions increased to 5.7%, reflecting stronger demand, especially in real estate, supported by lower inflation and accommodative monetary policy. Now, on the fiscal side, central government debt increased to 171.4 billion Namibian dollars. That is 61.7% of the gross domestic product, or GDP, although loan guarantees remained low at 3.0%. Meanwhile, Namibia's external position improved as a result of the current account deficit narrowing to 5.4 billion Namibian dollars, supported by stronger uranium and gold exports. In addition, foreign reserves remained steady at 59.6 billion Namibian dollars, equivalent to 3.9 months of import cover. Now, overall, although Namibia's economy slowed in the second quarter of 2025, inflation eased and external balances strengthened. Let's pause here again. I'll see you right after the commercial break.
Lipura nengeno wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida Ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala Ononongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu konda do inawa nuneudo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka opone ushenji fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. Meanwhile, the General Assembly of the Namibia National Commission for UNESCO hosted the Minister of the Minister of Education, Youth, Sports and Culture, also abbreviated as MESAC, that is Sanet Tienkam, whereby a discussion that was held, which was about the Global Education Monitoring Report that speaks towards the achievement of a Sustainable Development Goal 4. And the focuses were mostly on leadership in the education sector. Now, speaking at the event is, of course, the Minister of Education, Youth, Sports and Culture, MESEC, Sanet Stienkam. Let's take a listen.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Smith, the head of UNESCO, that will finally impact what will happen in the context of that particular school. It's about community leadership. And many times we find ourselves not in a position to implement informed decisions because of a power struggle in leadership, where egos are taking the front row instead of sharing the leadership, recognizing each other's strengths as school management, as teachers, and also bringing in the voice of learners as leaders. So quite a number of research studies has been done in Namibia on learner leadership and on teacher leadership. And I encourage you all to kindly make sure that you get much more information into learner and teacher leadership. We cannot exclude our learners in terms of learning from the best and also contributing to see that their voices count towards informed decisions that translate into action. So the commitment of school leaders, the enthusiasm of our teachers, teacher leadership, the support and dedication also of our school leaders and our learners and communities. This is the collective and distributed leadership that makes a difference in the quality of education and the inclusivity of our systems. If learners are not allowed to speak freely, with respect, sharing the innovative ideas on what they think could be leading to a much more conducive environment, if teachers' creativity and innovation are stifled at a school management level, if school boards' voices are shunned, if principals' leadership is not recognized, that add to dysfunction in our schools. So we should be able to turn around issues of shared and distributed leadership within our school systems. In Namibia, we have broadened access to education. That's correct. We've invested in teacher training, and equally this year we've set aside and we've conducted already with funding set aside in our budget, continuous professional development of our teachers, fostered innovation. But we are aware that there are challenges that are remaining. We are still having a shortage of fully qualified teachers in rural areas. Why is that the case? Because of a lack of proper school infrastructure. Also because of a lack of teacher accommodation, which always then have to take a back seat in us rolling out the most basic education facilities, such as sanitation and such as classrooms. So how do we look, what are we going to do as a country within the resources that we have, ensuring that we also have teachers who are ready to serve? And many of them already do, but more positions need to be filled in the rural context. And we are fully aware of the financial pressures that persist and limit our ability to expand services. It's a catch-22 situation. You want the best, but how do we restore the dignity of our teachers by providing them with proper sanitation facilities? How do we restore the dignities of boys and girls, giving them a voice by providing them with separate sanitation facilities? We've made great strides in that regard, but more still needs to be done. And our IMAS information will be clearly guiding us in terms of the basic education facilities, constructions that needs to happen within our regional directorates. But it's not just about challenges, ladies and gentlemen. We're also embracing new opportunities. And Namibia has been proactive in integrating technology in our education system. We might not be at the level where we want to be. We might not be at the level of other countries. But what works currently in our context? What is it that we have to put in place right now to see that coming to fruition? And the launch of the AI Readiness Assessment Report demonstrates our readiness with the assistance of the required resources to equip learners with digital skills that will define the future. Ms. Eunice Smith focused very much on the opportunities and the gaps, and the commitment is appreciated from UNESCO to assist the Ministry in the implementation of this action plan and the recommendations from the AI Readiness Assessment Report. You also make reference to the assistance of UNESCO. I just want to stop a moment here in helping our archives with the digitization of information. And just 2 days ago, on the 27th of September, in South Africa, Robben Island, which is also a World Heritage Site, we had the honor, as Namibia, to take along all living, those who could travel, ex-political prisoners for Robben Island. And we were also in a position to support with transport and accommodation their family members. We also had those who passed on already, their families were present. And we have committed that we want to work with South Africa to exchange and make sure that we digitize and that we avail their letters, the songs that they've written and sung during the time that they were at Robben Island. These stories must be captured, and our archives play a key critical role. And we would like to garner support for them too, Mr. Smith. So how do we ensure that part of our culture, that we are heritage bound and that nothing goes unnoticed, unrecognized, and unappreciated? Recently, Cabinet granted approval for work that needs to continue on listing the Brandberg, the Douros Brandberg on the list. We, of World Heritage sites. We have 8 of them on the list. We are not making enough progress. What is it that we need to do different with our corporate and development partners? Do we need more staff members? Do we need more expertise? Consultation is at the heart of every single listing if we wish to look into our cultural heritage sites. So, do we need a different way of doing things to ensure that it doesn't take us years to get to the point where we want to be? That I leave in an imprint on the hearts of everyone that is here. We are fully aware that our universities are strengthening international partnerships through UNESCO Chase, and building, bridging global research with local innovation. With the world skills, the national skills competition that was held now in Swakopmund at the MTC Dome. It was amazing to see learners from schools and students and how they were competing. And actually how some learners in school outperformed students in the technical field.
Speaking also at the event is Eunice Smith from UNESCO.
The government, innovation, engineering, and mathematics. Promoting STEM education is critical for ensuring that the country has a national workforce equipped with the skills and knowledge needed to effectively manage Namibia's industrial development, including in oil and gas, green hydrogen, and the extractive industries. In the social and human sciences, work is being done to promote inclusive and equitable societies. A key priority was finalization of the assessment of Namibia's readiness for artificial intelligence in follow-up to the adoption of the 2021 recommendation on the ethics of artificial intelligence. The Namibia AI Assessment Report highlights opportunities and gaps that need to be addressed to ensure that the rapidly evolving AI technology is used responsibly and that the human rights of all Namibians are fully protected in this process. UNESCO, in line with our institutional capacity building and standard-setting functions, will continue to support Namibia in the coming months to ensure implementation of the report recommendations within our areas of work, as well as to address critical priority areas of youth and sports in alignment with NDP 6 and the vision expressed by Madam President. In culture, our work focuses on protecting and safeguarding Namibia's unique heritage through capacity building, policy review, and empowering communities. We are supporting student-led research to facilitate the nomination of sites such as Fish River Canyon and Etosha Pan as World Heritage Sites. And we are facilitating transboundary cooperation, including consultations on the proposed extension of the Okavango Delta World Heritage Site. To measure culture's contribution to development, we launched the UNESCO Culture 2030 Indicators, and we continue to support the development of the National Cultural and Creative Industry Strategy to transform the arts and culture sector into a driver of jobs and economic growth, especially for young people. In communication and information, our work supports Namibia's priorities and Sustainable Development Goal 16 by promoting inclusive societies, accountable institutions, and access to justice. With the Namibia Institute for Educational Development, NIED, we are integrating media and information literacy into the curriculum to strengthen critical thinking and digital skills. With the Ministry for Information and Communication Technology, we are strengthening community media through the Community Media Policy Framework and an accompanying code of practice, amplifying local voices and ensuring access to reliable information. With support from the UNESCO Memory of the World program, we are helping the National Archives to digitize and translate into English fragile documents and records, preserving Namibia's heritage and ensuring future generations can access and learn from these documents.
for UNESCO's upcoming programmatic cycle, which starts in January and which runs on from 2026 to 2029, we intend to build on these interventions, working in close collaboration with you to support Namibia's national development priorities. Honorable Minister, ladies and gentlemen, today's focus, as we have heard, is on the Global Education Monitoring Report and its theme, Leadership in Education, Lead for Learning. And it is a timely reminder that after classroom teaching, leadership is the second most important factor in determining learners' success. As we have heard from Mrs. Vaughn, leadership embodies teachers and is about responsibility and vision. And it is also about creating conditions for others to succeed. I actually took note.
And with that, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. Remember, you can also be part of the news analysis. Dial in on 083-288-401. We'll see you right after the commercial break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now it's Wednesday, and that means that our The Villager e-paper is out. Make sure that you do grab your copy and read up on the following headlines. SMEs drowning in compliance burdens. The 2025 UCI Road World Championships, a reminder for Africa to compete instead of participate. Aid crops closed for importation in October. Kurankuru, Nepa Road open. Roads Authority eyes second phase completion. Etosha fire attributed to failed fire breaks. Know your IOM alumni, civil servants. Now do grab your The Villager e-paper that is out every Monday, Wednesday and Friday to ensure that you don't pass by on social and economic news delivered straight to your mobile app. All you have to do is send a text message to 081-200-4144. That is 081-200-4144. And now for what's making headlines in terms of economic indicators. $1 today is equals to 17 Namibian dollars and 18 cents. And £1 sterling is equals to 23 Namibian dollars and 17 cents. €1 is equals to 20 Namibian dollars and 16 cents. $1 Australian is equals to 11 Namibian dollars and 37 cents. €1 Swiss franc is equals to 21 Namibian dollars and 54 cents. €1 Botswana pula is equals to $1.22. And with that, we head over to trading economics.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Morocco's economy grew by a notable 5.5% in the second quarter of 2025. That is up from 4.8% in the first quarter and 2.4% in the same period a year ago. Now, this was the strongest economic performance since the fourth quarter of 2021, mainly boosted by non-agricultural activities at plus 5.5%. Within this, the secondary sector grew 7.4%, driven by electricity, gas, water, sanitation and waste treatment at 8.9%, manufacturing at 6.9% and construction and public works at 6.7%. The tertiary sector rose 4.8%, led by hotels and restaurants at 10.5%, public administration and social security at 4.8%, and trade and vehicle repair at 4.4%. Now, at the same time, the agricultural sector grew 4.7%, while fisheries activities contracted by 7.7%. Now, the volume of mortgage applications in the U.S. fell by 12.7% from the previous week on the period ending September 26th, tying for the sharpest decline in nearly 1 year. The result trimmed the combined 42% surge in weekly mortgage applications in the last 3 weeks, as benchmark mortgage rates rebounded from a one-year low, with yields on long-dated treasury securities rising due to softer concerns of a weak labor market and stronger spending data. The applications for a contract to refinance an existing mortgage, which is more sensitive to short-term changes in rates, plunged by 21% from the previous week. Now, in 10 applications for a mortgage to buy a new home eased by 1%. Ghana's annual inflation rate decelerated further to 9.4% in September 2025. That is the softest since August 2021, from 11.5% the month before, marking the ninth consecutive period of slowing price growth. Now, still, it remains above the Bank of Ghana's 8% target range, which has a 6 to 10% tolerance bent. Now, September's slowdown was largely due to falling food prices, which dropped to 11% from 14.8% in August, whereas non-food prices eased more modestly to 8.2% from 8.7%. At the same time, imported inflation moderated to 7.4% in September from 9.5% in August, supported by the relative strength of credit despite recent weakness. Meanwhile, Portugal's retail trade growth slowed to 4.5% year-on-year in August 2025, down from 6.2% in July. Sales of food, beverages and tobacco rose 4.6% versus 5.8% in July, while non-food goods increased 4.5% versus 6.5%. South Africa's seasonally adjusted APSA Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, rose to 52.2% in September 2025, and the highest since October last year, from 49.5% in August, pointing to a renewed expansion in factory activity. However, this was only the second time this year that growth was recorded. The domestic market drove the recovery as global demand remained under pressure and is complicated by steep US tariffs, now a challenging trading environment and lingering SA port issues, APSA said. Now, the business activity and new sales orders sub-indices rose strongly, reflecting the rebound in local demand. Meanwhile, respondents noted slower deliveries caused by logistical obstacles such as export paperwork delays. The measure of expected business conditions 6 months ahead fell sharply amid growing uncertainty about the near-term outlook given global headwinds. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. But you know, when we do return, we'll be telling you what's making headlines in terms of news beyond the borders of Namibia. Do stay tuned. Also, remember, we would also love to have you part of the news analysis. So dial in, ask your questions, perhaps give share your contributions with us on 083-288-401.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo IGL FM otuna evi tota njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa Nuneudo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarude kayo loka Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa Ninge fada fanona monika ko IGL FM Onora etatu imwe bali heari nola natu heari bali no heari Ile konderewa mura etatu natu bali o etatu batatu Oma filane IGL FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear or favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now time for news beyond the borders. We start off regionally, move over to continental news. Thereafter, you can expect some international news. Now, starting off in South Africa, where the economic freedom fighter, EFF leader, Julius Malema, has been found guilty by the East London Magistrate Court in the Eastern Cape, while his co-accused, Adrian Snyman, has been found not guilty.
The following findings are made. You may stand up, accused 1 and 2. Accused 1, in respect of counts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you are found guilty as charged. Accused 2, Mr. Snyman, in respect of counts 4 and 6, you are found not guilty and discharged. You may be seated.
Meanwhile, Malema reacts after being found guilty in firearm discharge case.
Manza! FIFA! EFF! FIFA! Tata! EFF! Tata! Down with AfriForum! Down! Down with DA! Down! Down with Helen Zille! Down! Manza! Thank you very much, Deputy President and all officials of the EFF. We want to thank all the leaders of the EFF who are here and from different provinces. Thank you, the ground forces of the EFF, for your support. We have been here for 7 years. We are almost at the end because today she passed her verdict finding us guilty, but she released accused number 2, which is highly appreciated. Because we know that from the beginning, they have been looking for me. They were not looking for accused number 2. They were just playing games, and today they came out openly. As a revolutionary, going to prison or death is a badge of honor. We cannot be scared of prison. We cannot be scared to die for the revolution. So whatever they want to do, they must know we will never retreat from the ideas and the seven cardinal pillars of the EFF. And the center of those is to expropriate land without compensation. So, comrades, you must not be deterred. We live here highly determined. We are going to fight this up until the Constitutional Court. We are coming on the 23rd of January for sentencing, and after sentencing, we will immediately put an appeal so that we can go to the higher court, because we think a judgment is faulty. The strategy has always been, you must try to charge Malema with everything. One day, maybe we'll find a racist judge who will find him guilty, whether he's guilty or not. Because they said...
Meanwhile, the Gauteng Education Department has admitted to not having money to pay school nutrition service providers.
The Gauteng Education Department has admitted it has no money to pay companies that supply it with food for school children. They blame this on the influx of learners into the province. The admission is contained in a letter the department's acting director for the National School Nutrition Program, Busizibe Mahlangu, wrote to service providers. Our SABC News reporter Kelvin Glidler has the latest update on this. Kelvin, this is a very difficult story to be speaking about right now. No food for learners? Tell us more.
Good morning to you and to our SABC viewers at home. Eliane, this is, has caused a panic, especially to most parents here in Gauteng. We are in Soweto now, Orlando West, to be specific. We have been engaging with some of the parents who are concerned about this, saying that their only hope was that Leanne, at least their kids will be able to get something to eat at school, because they are struggling at home. Most of them are saying that they are not working, they are unemployed. So they had hope that government will assist them, because they know that when kids are at school, at least they will get meals in the morning and during the day. But now, if the Department of Education in this province of Gauteng is struggling to pay service providers, that might lead Leanne to the food being cut off. But let me introduce, because of time, one of the parents. Good morning to you and to our SABC viewers at home. To you, and do you know now that the Department of Education in this province of Gauteng is struggling to pay service providers? Ushukuthini lokhu njengabazali?
Obesizwile ngakho asiphathekanga kahle kakhulu, ngoba kuzokwenza ukuthi abantwana bagcine belwa ey'koleni. Sinenkinga vele ukuthi abantwana bayalwa manje, kuwesi-ke uma sebelambile njengoba besho bethi indlala ibanga ulaka, kuzotholakala sebelimazana bazokulawuleka. Sinenkinga nje impela, siphathekanga kahle kakhulu.
Ucabanga ukuthi mhlawumpe yini okungemele phela manje
sejele abantwana bangathi bahlukumeza impela ngoba sithembele kubo.
Very much one of the parents of Leanne engaging with SABC News about this issue. Yesterday, I had an engagement with Matakanye Matakanye from School Governing Bodies Association, also saying the same thing, saying that no, government must go, the Department of Education in Gauteng must go to Treasury and ask for money, because it will be highly impossible for kids to study with the empty stomach, as this lady here, a parent, saying that kids will struggle at school. They will even struggle to concentrate, Leanne, because as I have mentioned earlier in my introduction, most parents, especially here where I am in Soweto, are unemployed, are not working. So it will be difficult for them to give the kids money to go and buy something at school. And it's difficult even for them at home to have food, to put food in the table. So you would imagine.
South African ambassador found dead in Paris hotel.
South Africa's ambassador to France has been found dead at the foot of a high-rise hotel in the west of Paris. According to French media reports, ambassador Nkosi Nati Mtetwa was reported missing by his wife on Monday afternoon after she received a text message from him that concerned her. His phone was traced to the Bois de Boulogne, but he wasn't located. Paris police say Mtetwa had reserved a room on the 22nd floor of the Hyatt Hotel in Port-Mayeux. The room's secured window was forced open, and Mtetwa's body was found by the hotel at about 1 p.m. on Tuesday. Motsepe began his career as an anti-apartheid activist in 1990 when he joined the Youth League of the African National Congress. He went on to become a Member of Parliament and held several ministerial positions. He was appointed Ambassador to France and Permanent Delegate to UNESCO in March 2024.
Meanwhile, in Uganda, the Ministry of Energy has partnered up with the EU to explore minerals.
Led by the Geological Survey of Slovenia and the European Union and a consortium of other European partners in seeing that they are investing in further exploration and quantification of our minerals. So they've been working hand in hand with our geological survey team here at the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Development to see how best they can make a proper assessment of our critical minerals.
When you know what and how much and what quality, we'll now have it published out there. It will be on our website so that investors who are interested know what they are coming for.
So we have a lot of European delegations here to try to see how we can work together. And our program, our funding here of a program, relates mainly to see how we can map the minerals in Uganda, where they are and how they can be used, and really to present this to investors as ready-made packages for them to come and invest.
We will try to raise the capacity of the Geological Survey Department, A, by transferring skills, education, and knowledge to the young professionals, as well as to the staff of Geological Survey Department.
Still in Uganda, the Ministry of Health warns of rising sepsis threat amid drug resistance.
Sepsis occurs when the body's immune system overreacts to an infection. Normally, the immune system works to fight off germs such as bacteria, viruses, or parasites. In some cases, the body is able to overcome the infection with or without medical help. However, when the infection overwhelms the body, the immune response overreacts to these germs.
The body's immunity has been overwhelmed by an infection that can get into the blood via having initial an infection on the skin or through any crack from the skin or through an infection like pneumonia, and the body gets overwhelmed and these organisms or germs overmultiply in the blood. And the body then overreacts to these organisms. And in the process of overreacting, they react beyond the organ, the germ. They also start affecting and reacting against its own organs.
According to the Ministry of Health, this response can lead to organ failure, affecting vital organs such as the liver and kidneys, and may cause the patient to go into shock, coma, or even death if not treated promptly.
But sometimes the organs are very resistant, first of all, to the drugs we've given, or they've overpowered the immunity of the body. So the body also tries to because the organs are multiplying, the body also tries to continue to overreact to try and control the infection. As it does that, it overreacts against its own organs at the same time.
Estimated that in the country we have over 30,000 people who die because of antimicrobial resistance. So if you look at that, then it means that all those cases should have had what? Sepsis. So those are the ones who kind of like had sepsis, and definitely we lost. The outcome was not good. They could not be saved, or they came late.
According to the Ministry of Health, mothers and newborns are among the most affected groups. Early detection and treatment are key. Common symptoms of sepsis include high fever, fast breathing, confusion, shivering, and extreme weakness. In newborns, signs include refusal to breastfeed, rapid breathing, or sudden deterioration in health.
If you know the organism, you give it treatment, and such that it doesn't overmultiply to overwhelm the body's immunity, which will also spark the body to overreact, and it overreacts beyond the germs and reacts against the organs.
Good nutrition. Because we say that people with diabetes definitely do, because they have immune compromise. If you have HIV, so if you can definitely prevent from the prevention side.
Norbert Atkunda, NTV News.
After 25 years, U.S. Africa Trade Lifeline, ANJOA, comes to an end, and thousands of jobs are at risk as ANJOA trade deal expires.
After 25 years, the African Growth and Opportunity Act has officially expired on Tuesday, leaving the future of trade between the United States and Africa in uncertainty. The agreement has given thousands of products from African nations duty-free access to U.S. markets. In Kenya, workers of the textile and clothing industry now fear job cuts.
All those years, this has been my bread and butter. I only depend on this job. So if it is gone, it means my life is gone too.
During the life of the agreement, textile and apparel exports from Kenya to the U.S. have grown from about $50 million to around $500 million.
Clearly, if AGOA goes away, we have zero chance to compete with the Asian countries. There's no way we can survive. I'm very convinced, as a sector chair and as a own businessman, it is not going to be a survival for us. The whole house of cards will collapse very quickly.
At the United Nations General Assembly last week, Kenyan President William Ruto said he was seeking a five-year extension of AGOA.
America, being protectionist, protecting its market, protecting its people, and not caring about other people, and especially African countries. That's dangerous because you're locking them out because they do not have the capability, because they do not have the capacity. In the short run, it looks manageable, but in the long run, the challenges are going to be devastating and they're going to spill over. And that's why, if, for example, there is unemployment in Africa, it's not just an African problem. Europe, America, and other developed countries in the developed world are going to feel the pain because these young people will do everything possible to get to those countries.
Experts say several African economies are likely to face the adverse effects of both AGOA's end and Donald Trump's new tariffs.
Meanwhile, Ghanaian exporters brace for U.S. tariffs as ANJOA. AGOA faces expiration.
Now, in Ghana, exporters are bracing for those tough times ahead as the U.S. imposes those new tariffs on goods from Africa. For decades, Ghana has enjoyed duty-free access to the U.S. market under that African Growth and Opportunity Act. But a new 15% tariff is now squeezing businesses already dealing with high shipping costs. CGTN's Nabil Ahmed Rufai tells us more from Accra.
Ghana has been exporting yams duty-free to the U.S. market under the African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA, for more than 20 years. Exporters are worried that Washington's new 15% tariff means every shipment will now cost more, and producers of these yams could be the hardest hit if consumers in the U.S. are not ready to pay for their food.
Because it is not really dominating their economy, they are not really ready. They also want to pass it on to the exporter. And once you are passing it on to the exporter pass it on to the producer. So if producer was selling for maybe 2 cities, it means that the producer, the exporter will say, look, I have wine and this is, so you have to reduce that 2 cities to 1 city, maybe 80%.
Under the AGOA program, a carton of yam is sold to consumers in the U.S. for between $70 and $100. But with the new tariffs, Exporters say consumers are likely to pay about $120 for the same quantity of yams. Last year, Ghana exported about $1.2 billion worth of goods to the U.S. market, with apparel and textiles, yam, cashew and cocoa, all AGOA-related products, making up a significant portion of the sales. Analysts now project that the value of exports from Ghana to the U.S. could decline with the new tariffs.
There's room and the scope for Ghana to tap into other markets, I think particularly in East Asia. So China, we're seeing growing demand for various non-traditional exports. In Japan, there's same. And then when you come to the Western Europe, where a lot of like Ghanaian cassava and yam and cocoa products go to, again, the demand is there. And then lastly, within the African market itself.
He suggests that exporters must now seek alternative markets, including the African Continental Free Trade Area, or AFCFTA, which opens the market for 1.4 billion people on the continent to trade amongst themselves.
Ghana's exporters say the search is on for new buyers, and the focus now is shifting to markets across Africa, Asia, and the Middle East.
But they still face a hurdle with transporting their goods within Africa.
The only difficulty we have within the AFTA market is infrastructure and other things. I mean, because if I'm supposed to send something to Kenya by sea, it takes me 64 days. The things go all the way to Europe before they send it. There's no dedicated vessels to that, right?
The government says it is putting in measures to ease regulations and remove barriers so Ghanaian exporters can take better advantage of the AFCFTA. But for exporters here, adapting quickly could mean the difference between survival and collapse of their business. Nabil Ahmed Rufai, CGTN, Accra, Ghana.
Well, earlier I spoke to Tilewa Adebajo, who is the CEO of CFG Advisory, about the prospects for an extension of that AGOA deal and also whether AGOA still carries the same weight that it did for Africa before the Trump administration. Take a look.
Well, it's what is on everybody's mind. But for me, I think the AGOA is more or less history. The reason I say that is this. The Trump administration is not very consistent in its tariff policy. It has abandoned the AGOA and, for instance, take South Africa. There's a unilateral 30% tariff on South Africa, irrespective of prior AGOA arrangements. So it's like they're targeting each country. And right now, with the fact that America is looking for some countries to take its criminals and its refugees, in Africa. So they're trying to do deals with African countries, and they're using tariffs and visa as bait. I think this is very sad for the continent, unfortunately, because this sort of trade and diplomacy is not really the best. It's not a progressive way of looking at how you want to deal with Africa. AGOA, I think, is on its last legs, to be honest with you, at least under this administration.
Quite interesting, because the White House did say that the administration does support a one-year extension of the deal. How reassured?
Madagascar analyst examines a fallout from deadly protest and government dissolution.
They say we are a TikTok generation, a generation of idiots. And when we rise up, they don't let us speak out about the country's problems. A message for you, Mr. Andrew Rajoelina. When you led the protest, they let you do it. It was okay. But when we young people fight for the country, you stop us.
As soon as we move, we are surrounded. As soon as we speak, we are silenced. What is this? Are we in kindergarten? Are we in kindergarten where when we are told to sit down, we sit down? That's what we are experiencing right now. How many more years are we going to accept this without anything changing? Stand up. We have to change things. If you want something better, you have to fight for it. We all have to stand up and fight.
Meanwhile, hundreds of protesters returned to the streets of Madagascar's capital, Antananarivo, on Tuesday. Inspired by the youth-led Gen Z protests in Kenya and Nepal, the demonstrations, which started last Thursday, have been the largest the Indian Ocean island has seen in years. They are the most serious challenge Rajoelina has faced since his re-election in 2023 after coming into power in a 2009 coup.
Total Energies to sell Norwegian oil assets in debt cut push.
Total Energy has agreed to sell its interests in several mature oil fields off Norway. It's the latest step in a broader divestment strategy aimed at cutting debt. The transaction is expected to close in the fourth quarter of this year, the French oil major said on Wednesday. The company is seeking to focus on more profitable assets in order to reduce its leverage. During Total Energy's Investor Day on Monday, Group CEO Patrick Poyan said the group intended to raise $3.5 billion through divestitures by the end of the year. That would offset more than $3 billion in acquisitions that have led to a more than doubling of Total Energy's debt in the first 6 months of 2025. The asset is being acquired by Norway's Vår Energi, which will increase its stake in the Ekofisk redevelopment project to 52.3%, Vår said in a statement.
Congo's ex-president Joseph Kabila has been sentenced to death in absentia.
The Democratic Republic of Congo's former president, Joseph Kabila, was sentenced to death in absentia on Tuesday by a military court. He was convicted of war crimes, treason, and crimes against humanity, and also ordered to pay around $50 billion in various damages to the state and victims. The case stems from his alleged role in supporting the advance of Rwanda-backed M23 rebels in Congo's volatile east. Rwanda, which has long denied helping M23, says its forces act in self-defense against Congo's army and ethnic Hutu militia men linked to the 1994 Rwandan genocide. Kabila, who led Congo from 2001 to 2019, has denied wrongdoing and says the judiciary has been politicized. He was not present for the trial and was also unrepresented by legal counsel. Neither he nor his representatives were immediately available for comment, and his current whereabouts are not known. Lawyer Richard Bondo hailed the result as a victory for the country.
We are satisfied because justice has been served. So, the justice rendered in the name of the Congolese people gives satisfaction to these people. Given that the defendant, Kabila, mastermind of all rebel movements, all insurgents, and all Rwandan aggression, he, as the mastermind, has just been sentenced to capital punishment.
Taliban imposes internet shutdown in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan's Taliban governments imposed a nationwide communications shutdown just weeks after introducing fiber optic internet. The country is currently experiencing a total telecoms blackout. The Taliban hasn't given a reason for the shutdown, but it said it will last until further notice. Well, let's speak to our correspondent Caroline Davis, who is monitoring events from Islamabad in neighbouring Pakistan. So firstly, Carrie, what exactly has happened?
Well, we know from various internet monitors that this started to appear to have cutdowns from about Monday afternoon. Sites like NetBlocks that monitor internet usage and internet access so that they saw things gradually weaken, then shut down pretty much entirely in Afghanistan. Now, this has been building up over the course of this month. Earlier, from about the middle of September, there had been bans and then subsequent cuts in different provinces around Afghanistan. But this one in particular is also affecting mobile phone networks as well as the internet too.
And why has this all happened? Do we know?
Well, at the moment, we don't have an official response from the Taliban about exactly why they're doing this. What we do know, though, is that there was a spokesperson that earlier in this month, one of the first provinces to have their fiber networks cut off. And they talked about the fact that this had come from the supreme leader and that this was about, in their words, curbing evils. Now, in terms of the impact that this is having, of course, in Afghanistan, it's sometimes difficult for us to know exactly what's going on because of this internet cutdown. This is obviously happening inside the country, but also an inability to be able to communicate to the outside world as well. Now, what we do know is that even when some of these cuts were happening in other provinces, there were already concerns about the impact that this would have on things like businesses, on banking, on aviation, on people sending money into the country as well as internal communications too. And we can see things like the flight monitoring site Flight Radar has shown that there are flight cancellations. We've also heard through our BBC team of other people experiencing flight cancellations coming into the country. But one other big thing, Regini, to remember is that, of course, in Afghanistan, girls and women over the age of 12 cannot study at school. We have spoken to at least one woman, but women who are using the internet to try to get some form of further education beyond that age as well. And one woman that our team spoke to talked about the fact that since this cutdown has happened, she feels that dream of being able to continue to get an education, potentially even an online job, has been stopped altogether too.
So lots of ramifications and a huge impact on this. What comes next?
The big question, of course, is how long this internet outage might last for, whether we would see some form of mobile signals return as well. There's a real, I think, desperation from people outside the country trying to contact loved ones inside the country, and of course a worry too. A lot of Afghan families that are outside the country are sending money and remittances in to Afghanistan as well. And
meanwhile, Donald Trump has set Hamas deadline to respond to Gaza's peace plan.
Donald Trump says he gives Hamas 3 or 4 days to accept the Gaza peace deal. 8 Arab and Muslim nations have urged Hamas to accept the terms of the plan, which includes Hamas giving up power in Gaza. Hamas is said to be reviewing the plan, which was announced by President Trump and is backed by Israel. Here's some of what President Trump has had to say in the last few minutes.
Hamas, how long do you plan to get Hamas to respond to the ceasefire proposal you put out?
Well, we're going to do about 3 or 4 days. We'll see how it is. All of the Arab countries are signed up. The Muslim countries are all signed up. Israel's all signed up. We're just waiting for Hamas. And Hamas is either going to be doing it or not. And if it's not, it's going to be a very sad end.
Do you have a deadline? Is there room to negotiate with Hamas?
You know, with Hamas, we want very simple. We want the hostages back immediately. And we want some good behavior. And, you know, pretty simple. You don't get simpler. Think of it. We've signed every country in the Middle East. This is like an impossible thing. It's never been done before. This is more than Gaza. Gaza is big stuff. But this is Gaza is a piece of it.
And if they reject the deal, you said that Israel has your backing to do whatever they need to do. What do you envision that looks like?
Let them go and do what they have to do. They can do it pretty easily. I would let them go and do what they have to do. You know, we've...
And with that, we have come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengue program brought to you by Louise Shimi. From Indafa, Happy Juju, it is goodbye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%
is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe fu.
Omu tia, wikikiro wakabula ii matina omdu. Chika oshafafana nana nongeshe fa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iyo mwaya wo, wata ingongo tika mweni. Anangeshe fa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma iwe, yongeshe fa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengera selma, onara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727. Or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omu tia, wutekiru wakaguna ii matina omjo. Chika oshafaa sana nana nongeshefa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mweni. Anangeshefa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma iwe, yongeshefa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House.